wrote this song just off the whim, and you thought, well, they'll never invade this.
Let's see, how does that go? The other night when I was out bowling, my buddy says to me, hey, man, what do you think about Poland? Such a sorry sight to see. Well, we got to do what we can, but the trouble's in Afghanistan. Still, huh? We could bomb the Soviets, but better yet, let's bomb Grenada. Cut off their aid, cut off their trade. If that won't persuade them, we got to invade them, or blockade them, or stockade them, switchblade them, or grenade them. They're setting a bad example. And it goes on like that for 45 minutes.
I like that. That's good.
That's good stuff. Yeah, I like that. That's good.
Well, tell me just a little bit about some of the current satire you've come up with about this shutdown. What do you think about the shutdown?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you
obviously
what,
we're all frustrated.
I'll tell you what. I leave these things to my alter ego, dark force that comes from within me, whose name is Wild Bill Bailout, the Bard of the Bankers. He is the only known singing CEO. And he explained to me that people can finally feel free because there's no government, no tyranny. There's no tyranny of having to go to the national parks and appreciate it. And all those seniors, you know, who live in their RVs in the parks are all being offered the opportunity to go to real wilderness that's not in a park. That's just to go discover and maybe make new parks for themselves. And if you think about it, Yosemite actually was doing just fine all by itself before John Muir came in and messed with the free market and took over and made it part of the big government that's oppressing all the bears out there. And
that's right.
Another benefit to this whole shutdown is that Head Start closed, so now there's a level playing field for the kids, you see, because some kids were getting an unfair advantage by being poor. And that's what we call deformative action, right? And it's just very unfair to the people who don't get a boost up, you know. Picture it. You're trying to climb over the wall into kindergarten, and all these poor kids. Actually, John Foster Dulles explained this to Dwight Eisenhower once. He said, you have to understand that the poor of the earth have always wanted to plunder the rich. That's a basic understanding we don't have in our schools because, what is it? Oh, yeah, we don't have schools. The Geithners and the Summerses and these people who are in charge of the economy, they got put there because they wrecked it, so they're the only ones that know how to fix it. Not mm-hmm. that they're gonna, but they would know how you would do that, which is to fire themselves.
Dave is going to be appearing live in concert this Friday at 7 p.m. over at First Christian, or First Lutheran.
And I know that folks are very busy watching the television on Friday nights, but I just want to say this to the Quad Cities. Get up off the couch, Davenport. I'm betting you could morph into somebody who could get on the scene, Moline. No man is an island, Rock Island, so let's get our quads together. Gosh darn it. Go team.
What are the four cities of the Quad Cities? This has been an argument for years. We can't really identify them ourselves.
You mean I presumed I overstepped?
No, you did fine. Oh. Because even Seinfeld was here and he couldn't figure out which ones were the Quad Cities. He knew Davenport, Moline.
And that guy's practically a high school graduate.
Practically. But you're loved by a lot of people because I'm reading here San Francisco Weekly says that you're an expert shredder of today's news. Those are great compliments.
I lived in San Francisco in that area 23 years, and I had to get out because we were just going in circles talking to ourselves. I said, hey, guys, we got to go out into America now. And who's with me? And I went, and nobody came behind me. And then eventually they got driven out by the rising rents. And I said, I told you. See, now you're in Reno, and you didn't even want to be, and you didn't have a choice. And I went out into America and sometimes into the world as well and ended up in New York. But it's great to be able to go to the places. Of course, you know, the San Francisco-like places, like Madison, where I came from today, 25 square miles surrounded by reality, they call it. And they have the Solidarity Singers are still up there in the state capitol building every single day. I went up one indoor day, one outdoor day with them together. And after I'm done in this region, I'm going to North Carolina, where I did live and study for a while. And they have a movement there called Moral Mondays, which consists of going down to the state house and trying to symbolically and morally take it back from the redistrictors and the gerrymanderers and the people that buy elections. They got their own local Koch brothers all rolled into this one guy named Art Pope. And you can look him up. It's like a horror story genre kind of, except it's nonfiction. And so I wrote a piece for them that you can find on a DaveLippmann.com website. It's not quite possible to sing it because it's done to all these musical tracks. It's got all the Monday songs. I skipped Stormy Monday, but I got Monday Monday in there.
Okay.
Got the Mamas and Papas in there. I got Blue Monday, Fast Domino in there. And I got Lady Madonna because I just bloody well felt like it, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I put that in there. Oh, Manic Monday's in there.
What do you think politicians think about your music? Have you gotten any feedback from
Oh my God, they spend all their time thinking about my music up there on Capitol Hill.
Well, that's what, obviously, they're
Why did they not get anything
doing.
Done?
That's what they've been doing.
That's
yeah.
politicians' lunch there.
No, well, have you gotten any feedback from anybody who says, I think that's pretty funny, I like it, or poor taste?
Ralph Nader, that's about it.
Nader. Well, that's a big name.
I don't interact with social movements. This is the thing, when people will say, like, so what do you think of Obama all in all? Or, well, who do you like for president next time? Or, how about that new senator? He's not bad. He's pretty good. The mayor. We got a new mayor in New York. He's a big 6'8" something white guy with a black wife who used to be a lesbian. What do you think of that? And I say, you know what? That's nice, but I'm into social movements because people with power get gradually corrupted and gradually more and more irrelevant, and you got to toss them out after a while. That's why the founding fathers were so big on term limits. They invented that. That was invented actually in Kansas. The world was formed 6,000 years ago in Kansas. And then they invented the family. That's an American thing, the family. And after that, they invented term limits. And term limits can be important because you don't want, like, what you got now, which is people are beholden to the money and they cycle through the in-outdoor and they go become lobbyists and they come back into the government and Cheney goes out and does oil and he comes back and runs the world. None of these people respond to me when I call. It's amazing. They don't return my calls.
So you just vote your conscience. You don't vote along a party line.
That's a sticky question because if you vote your conscience, it could be that your conscience will turn on you because you will facilitate the election of the worst possible person. So I'm not making any recommendations that are simplistic. If I've learned two things in my life, one was feminism, and that didn't come easy because I was persuaded early on to be a man of a sort. not a sports guy, but otherwise a man. And the second thing I learned is for every complex problem in the world there's a simple answer and it's wrong. And so if you're looking for the simple overall answer, vote this way, don't vote this way, don't vote at all, be in the party of the Democrats, don't be in the party of the Democrats, all those answers are wrong because they're answering the wrong questions. The questions are how do we build movements that force changes to happen and force politicians to do stuff. It's that the question isn't who's a great politician who's really going to stand up for us.
We got a political science student here, Jordan Light. You have
he
any
could
questions?
Actually probably tell you the actual truth of the matter. I'm just blowing smoke here.
No, I think you've hit a few things, the nails in the head, I believe, that we talk about quite often in my classes that, you got to do it for yourself is something I really think that you harped on that I appreciate. So,
well, people could say it's easy for you because you don't have the responsibilities of having to govern. Yeah, it was easy for Martin Luther King to sit there and criticize. He didn't have to execute policy. Does that mean we don't respect him for what he did? Not exactly right.
Right.
Now I'm wondering. Now, do you consider Pete Seeger and those guys? Are those your the people that did you aspire maybe to be like one day, or is this a totally different idea where you're going to go out and do?
Thank you for that question because you could have just said you just compared yourself to Martin Luther King, didn't you?
No, that's not what I meant.
Go there. Pete Seeger always wanted to have a singing movement, and he had a lot of trouble finding that sometimes, and then sometimes it would creep up on him when he didn't expect it, like the civil rights movement. Was that, and he made a contribution to that with a certain song that he helped to discover as well. I have tried to keep some of that style. I do now more song leading than I ever did. It's a little different because I fall asleep easy if you sing in Kumbaya, right? And so I actually write songs that are in this genre what I call unsingable sing-alongs, for instance.
Okay.
A little something like this. In the summertime when pollution is high, you can drive a Hummer and darken the sky. When the weather's hot, we got oil wars and pollution on our mind. Have a drink, have a drive, go see whose pockets be in line. Now, if I was going to ask you to sing that with me, I might slow it down a little if the price was right, right? If I'm getting paid here, see? Otherwise...
That's right.
SOL, but... I do a lot of those... And a lot of medleys, which I always did, because when I had to teach somebody, we did a play together. Amiri Baraka, formerly Leroy Jones, Had a daughter with Diane DePrima. Her name was Dominique DePrima, and we did a play together 20 years ago. And I had to get her into writing song parodies for the play. And I said, well, here's the one thing you need to know that nobody else will tell you. When you're writing a song parody, you don't have to finish it. Do the one verse and be mm-hmm. happy with yourself and go on to the next thing and then just cram them all together. They'll work in almost any order. You will be shocked. Wow. And basically, you can monkey with it and jiggle it around a little bit, but basically it's going to work because it's all good. It's all funny, and it's all going to happen. So then she wrote songs. I was already too old for Madonna, and she had a thing about Madonna, and she would rewrite all Madonna songs, and I would say, well, I don't know that. Is it funny? You know, she said, yeah, trust me, it's funny. 2 months after the play closed, I start to hear these songs on the radio, and I just burst out laughing while I'm driving. Cause I didn't know that my show was that funny, my show that she wrote. Yeah.
Dave Lipman's with us on KALA, political satirist. Could you do another song for us? Part of a song?
Oh, sure.
He's holding out a cup, though, folks. You can't see. He wants us to throw some money in.
But, no, this is a sing-along. If the folks don't sing along, I'm just going to quit right now.
Oh, see? There we go. We'll be in trouble.
I wrote this on a spot in a pop-up. The Occupy Wall Street started moving out of Manhattan into the boroughs and popping up in these different parks and bringing all of their culture with their cardboard signs and all the tables with information and then bring the singers. I'll just do you a little piece of this.
Okay.
They, who are they? They're anybody that isn't me that I want to blame things on. They stole $11 trillion. No one went to jail. We're not going to sit around and wait for them to go to hail. If we work together, there's a chance we will prevail. So everybody stand and shout, my country's not for sale. Everybody goes, my country's not for sale. Not for sale. My country's not for sale.
Not for sale.
My country's not for sale.
Not for sale.
You crooks are going to jail. Or hail. And it goes on like that. All night it goes on.
That's wonderful. I love that. Now, can I ask you one question?
Yes.
If you had one message you wanted to give, you know, if a congressman or if, you know, a governor or somebody would you know, sit down and listen, you say they don't listen to you, someone would, what would be the one message you would deliver to them?
Resign.
There it is.
They have proven themselves post-competent. I always tell people, don't read the newspapers and the media from your own country, community radio excepted. Read and listen to stuff from other countries because it's outside of your bubble. You're asking a different question is, what are you going to tell the people who are participants in creating the bubble? And I'm going to tell them, when you get the money out of politics, then you can come over and sit on my porch and have a beer. Until then, go do your work. You know, because they're not doing it. They're just doing what they're paid to do by the people that bought the system. Is that a little harsh or what?
I like honesty.
I appreciate the honesty. Yeah. Thank you.
Dave Lipman, who's a political satirist, but you're also a folk artist. So if you like folk music and you like political satire, you are in for a treat. Friday, October 4th, tomorrow, 7 p.m., 1620.